Procédure de qualification 2022, employé de commerce CFC anglais, compréhension auditive, série 2. Cher candidat, la compréhension auditive que vous allez entendre vous permettra de remplir les documents qui vous ont été remis. Elle se compose de 3 parties, chaque partie étant répétée une fois et comporte un temps de réflexion entre chacune des parties. Veuillez avoir l'obligeance d'écrire très lisiblement. D'avance, merci et bonne chance pour votre examen. Vous avez maintenant quelques instants pour prendre connaissance de ces différentes parties.
Part 1. You will hear a conversation between a new customer and a garage owner. Fill in the missing information below using a word, numbers, or letters. You will hear the recording twice. You now have time to read the questions.
Dowley's Garage, Whitney, how can I help you?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, madam.
I would like to make an appointment to service my car.
Okay. Could you tell me your name, please?
Yes, it's Weatherly, Jane Weatherly.
Is it W-E-A-T-H-E-R-L-E-Y?
Yes, it's correct.
And your address?
Wilcote Riding in Wilcote, Chipping Norton. There's no number. And the postal code is OX36DY.
Right then. Any email address?
Yes, it is jane09@gmail.com.
Okay. Now, what is the brand, the model of your car, and the year it was released?
I have a Range Rover, a sport plug-in hybrid.
Nice car, isn't it? And the year?
Let me check. The model came out in 2018, and we ordered it a year later. But we only received it in 2020 because of a delay in delivery.
And how many miles have you covered?
Let me see. 79,345, precisely.
Okay. Now listen again. Dowley's Garage, Whitney, how can I help you?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, madam.
I would like to make an appointment to service my car.
Okay. Could you tell me your name, please?
Yes, it's Weatherly, Jane Weatherly.
Is it W-E-A-T-H-E-R-L-E-Y?
Yes, it's correct.
And your address?
Wilcote Riding in Wilcote, Chipping Norton. There's no number. And the postal code is OX36DY.
Right then. Any email address?
Yes, it is jane09@gmail.com.
Okay. Now, what is the brand, the model of your car, and the year it was released?
I have a Range Rover, a sport plug-in hybrid.
Nice car, isn't it? And the year?
Let me check. The model came out in 2018, and we ordered it a year later. But we only received it in 2020 because of a delay in delivery.
And how many miles have you covered?
Let me see. 79,345, precisely.
Okay. That is the end of part one.
Part two. You will hear 5 craft artists giving advice to people who want to start a home-based business to sell the things they make. For questions 1 to 5, choose from the list A to G which advice each speaker gives. Write one letter, A to G, next to the number of the recording. Do not use any letter more than once. There are two answers you do not need to use. You will hear the recording twice. You now have time to read the questions. Speaker 1.
Most people think that a good website or a few ads in the papers are enough for their business to take off. There's much more to be done. I make metal sculptures and I keep doing research into the latest techniques. There's nothing worse than thinking you know everything. If you do, you can advertise as much as you want. Your business will never grow. Speaker 2.
I once had the idea of putting some coloured sand in bottles and painting designs on them. I sold them so quickly that I decided to start a business of my own. There were recipients all over the place. I wish I had settled on a special area dedicated to my work because it was a complete mess all around my house. So be careful about that. I also sell online now, but most of my sales are still from word-of-mouth recommendations. Speaker 3.
Doing something you like and getting a salary out of it is absolutely great. You must know what you can earn and what you spend. But if you don't have very good accounting skills or you don't have time, get help from a professional, just like me. I can concentrate on my jewellery business, which is doing quite well indeed. Speaker 4.
Before launching your business, think carefully about how your potential customers will hear about you. Investing in colour flyers or brochures is smart because you can leave them in the shops in your area. That's what I did when I started my wood carving business. All my friends told me to get a good website designer instead, but I wasn't prepared for that. Never mind, my business is growing steadily and now takes up half of my house, including my garage. Speaker 5.
I began designing and making greeting cards for fun, and it turned from a hobby into a career. I started very small because I didn't know anything about marketing. Now, my business has grown and my products sell very well. Part of my success is due to my sister. She designed a fantastic website for me and it attracted lots of buyers who are now regular customers.
Now listen again. Speaker 1.
Most people think that a good website or a few ads in the papers are enough for their business to take off. There's much more to be done. I make metal sculptures and I keep doing research into the latest techniques. There's nothing worse than thinking you know everything. If you do, you can advertise as much as you want. Your business will never grow. Speaker 2.
I once had the idea of putting some coloured sand in bottles and painting designs on them. I sold them so quickly that I decided to start a business of my own. There were recipients all over the place. I wish I had settled on a special area dedicated to my work because it was a complete mess all around my house. So be careful about that. I also sell online now, but most of my sales are still from word-of-mouth recommendations. Speaker 3.
Doing something you like and getting a salary out of it is absolutely great. You must know what you can earn and what you spend. But if you don't have very good accounting skills or you don't have time, get help from a professional, just like me. I can concentrate on my jewellery business, which is doing quite well indeed. Speaker 4.
Before launching your business, think carefully about how your potential customers will hear about you. Investing in color flyers or brochures is smart because you can leave them in the shops in your area. That's what I did when I started my wood carving business. All my friends told me to get a good website designer instead, but I wasn't prepared for that. Never mind, my business is growing steadily and now takes up half of my house, including my garage. Speaker 5.
I began designing and making greeting cards for fun, and it turned from a hobby into a career. I started very small because I didn't know anything about marketing. Now, my business has grown and my products sell very well. Part of my success is due to my sister. She designed a fantastic website for me, and it attracted lots of buyers who are now regular customers.
That is the end of part 2. Part 3. You will hear a radio conversation about light pollution between Tony Williams, a radio presenter, and Jane Pethick. For each question, choose one answer, A, B, or C. There is only one correct answer per question. You will hear the recording twice. You now have time to read the questions.
Jane, you're going to talk about light pollution. Most people know about air, water, and land pollution, but they are much less familiar with light pollution.
Yes, about 100 years ago, we could look up and see a fantastic starry night sky. And when nighttime fell, we were plunged into darkness. Now the amount and the brightness of light from towns and cities around the world are so overwhelming that they reduce the darkness of night.
Could you just be a little bit more precise on what constitutes light pollution? I understand that artificial lights prevent us from admiring all the stars.
Well, light pollution is also when areas are overlit or lighting is badly designed or positioned with excessive glare. And this pollution has really bad consequences. It costs money and wastes energy and resources. In the US only, it is estimated that one-third of all lighting is wasted. In total, about $3 billion per year worth of energy is lost to bad lighting. Can you imagine? That's about New York City's total electricity consumption for 2 years.
Those figures are really stunning.
And the problem is getting worse. Artificial light is increasing in most countries worldwide. Scientists say it grew by 2.2% a year between 2012 and 2016. And it has a price too. Generally speaking, there is far too much wastage in energy costs.
What other consequences are there, Jane? What about security? Surely overlighting must prevent burglaries.
No. In fact, many studies have shown that there is very little connection, if at all, between lighting and crime. Paradoxically, having more light does not reduce criminality in cities, although many people think it does.
Yes, I would have thought so. I have also heard about consequences on human health. Is that proven?
Yes. Research suggests that artificial light at night can negatively affect human health by increasing risks of obesity, depression, and sleep disorders. In fact, our biological clock gets disrupted. Our body produces melatonin, and nighttime exposure to artificial light suppresses that hormone, which we need to stay healthy.
I see. And what about animals? Are they affected too?
Unfortunately, wildlife and ecosystems are concerned too. Scientific evidence shows that the lack of real day and night cycles has negative and deadly effects on all living creatures. For example, many insects are attracted to light and die, and fewer insects means fewer birds, and so on.
It's much worse than I thought. Is there anything we can do about it?
First of all, I would recommend writing to your local representatives. This pollution problem needs as much support to be solved as possible. Our politicians should take into account public opinion in order to make more adequate laws and take action as soon as possible. And on a more personal level, each citizen should feel concerned. Not only should they speak up, but they could also do something like using lighting which is directed downwards with a good cover on the bulb. And of course, we should all be using LED lights. That would be a good beginning.
Thank you for all the information, Jane. I have learnt a lot.
You're welcome.
Now, listen again. Jane, you're going to talk about light pollution. Most people know about air, water and land pollution, but they are much less familiar with light pollution.
Yes, about 100 years ago, we could look up and see a fantastic starry night sky. And when nighttime fell, we were plunged into darkness. Now the amount and the brightness of light from towns and cities around the world are so overwhelming that they reduce the darkness of night.
Could you just be a little bit more precise on what constitutes light pollution? I understand that artificial lights prevent us from admiring all the stars.
Well, light pollution is also when areas are overlit or lighting is badly designed or positioned with excessive glare. And this pollution has really bad consequences. It costs money and wastes energy and resources. In the US only, it is estimated that 1/3 of all lighting is wasted. In total, about $3 billion per year worth of energy is lost to bad lighting. Can you imagine? That's about New York City's total electricity consumption for 2 years.
Those figures are really stunning.
And the problem is getting worse. Artificial light is increasing in most countries worldwide. Scientists say it grew by 2.2% a year between 2012 and 2016. And it has a price too. Generally speaking, there is far too much wastage in energy costs.
What other consequences are there, Jane? What about security? Surely overlighting must prevent burglaries.
No. In fact, many studies have shown that there is very little connection, if at all, between lighting and crime. Paradoxically, having more light does not reduce criminality in cities, although many people think it does.
Yes, I would have thought so. I have also heard about consequences on human health. Is that proven?
Yes. Research suggests that artificial light at night can negatively affect human health by increasing risks of obesity, depression, and sleep disorders. In fact, our biological clock gets disrupted. Our body produces melatonin, and nighttime exposure to artificial light suppresses that hormone, which we need to stay healthy.
I see. And what about animals? Are they affected too?
Unfortunately, wildlife and ecosystems are concerned too. Scientific evidence shows that the lack of real day and night cycles has negative and deadly effects on all living creatures. For example, many insects are attracted to light and die, and fewer insects means fewer birds, and so on.
It's much worse than I thought. Is there anything we can do about it?
First of all, I would recommend writing to your local representatives. This pollution problem needs as much support to be solved as possible. Our politicians should take into account public opinion in order to make more adequate laws and take action as soon as possible. And on a more personal level, each citizen should feel concerned. Not only should they speak up, but they could also do something like using lighting which is directed downwards with a good cover on the bulb. And of course, we should all be using LED lights. That would be a good beginning.
Thank you for all the information, Jane. I have learnt a lot.
You're welcome.
That is the end of part three.
Fin de l'enregistrement.